Welcome back, everyone, to Wake Up with Jesus and Coffee podcast. Again, I'm your host, Hannah Forrester, and I'm still joined by the lovely Grace and Anna.
Hello.
Hi.
The coffee that we're drinking this time is still a Bones Coffee blend. It's a strawberry cheesecake. Again, love their flavors.
I'm going to have to get in on
that. Grace is like, give me some. It's really good. Again, I love their flavored coffees. They're not too overpowering, and they don't have that, you know, generic kind of weird flavor taste that you get with a lot of flavored things. But we got a multi-pack Keurig cup with about 6 different flavors, and this is the 3rd flavor I've tried. I tried their medium roast, which was really good. So definitely going to be drinking a lot more Bones Coffee on the podcast. Again, all the coffee companies, if I could talk, mentioned on this podcast are not sponsors and are not affiliated with the podcast. We just love coffee here. So you like the coffee?
I did. I like my coffee, like, sweet, like super sweet. So I'm getting more used to drinking it either just black or with a little bit of sweetener, like honey or something. Mm-hmm. So I prefer it with a lot of sugar, but I could definitely taste both the strawberry and the cheesecake.
Yeah.
And it was a little more bearable than just black coffee mm-hmm. for me.
Because, little known fact, I do not put cream or sugar. This is just black coffee, but again, the flavoring helps. Also, treat for Stranger Things fans, I'm drinking out of my Mornings Are for Coffee and Contemplation mug. Gotta love Stranger Things. All right, but enough about the coffee. Let's get back into our podcast. Welcome back, everyone. Again, we are in part 2 of our 2-part series of The Bachelorette and the Bible. If you have not listened to the first episode, stop right here, go back, listen to that, and then come back right afterwards. Definitely important that you listen to that first one first. Let's get into it. Again, we are recording this at a different time, actually a whole nother week apart. We actually watched the current episode,
The Men Tell All.
So before we get into Hannah in this previous episode and talk about that scene, definitely wanted to hear your thoughts on how you thought that Luke handled The Men Tell All. Just a few thoughts.
I honestly feel like Luke handled The Men Tell All worse than he did the initial conversation with Hannah. Just the 7 or 8 90-second pauses every time Chris Harrison would ask him a question made me so uncomfortable. And I stick with what I said earlier. It seems like he's always trying to say what he thinks he's supposed to say or what people want from him. And that's why he's always backtracking. And it drives me up a wall. But yeah, I have, like, my feelings towards him haven't really changed at all, other than feeling kind of bad that everybody was being mean to him on the show, because I have a soft heart, but I'm still not a big fan.
Part of me still wants to give Luke some kind of benefit of the doubt, and I do feel that at least at some points his heart's in the right place. He just can't, I really, at the end of the day, feel like he can't express himself clearly, and so it causes him to backtrack and say things that he doesn't mean. I mean, I think a lot of it is true, but I think some of it's just he doesn't know how to express himself. It broke my heart to see so many people throwing mm-hmm. crazy stuff at him, and yeah. Like he's gotten so much criticism, and I have a soft heart too, so I can't help but feel bad for him, because I can't imagine what it would be like to be put in that spotlight and have to answer to why you did certain things. I mean, you're on national mm-hmm. television, so that's horrifying to think about.
Yeah, I definitely agree with y'all. It's hard to see someone, you know, berated that much. So I did take, you know, offense to that, especially it was the whole thing was hard to watch. But it definitely did solidify what I thought of him to begin with. Now that doesn't give everyone the right to bully and to, you know, berate him like they did. Really, in all honesty, we saw a guy who is very lost, very ignorant on a lot of things, brought up a certain way, trying to figure out this whole faith thing, but really you can tell he hasn't had a lot of spiritual mentors in his life teaching him what exactly the Bible says, how you're supposed to treat women, how you're supposed to, you know, judge other Christians. And so that's really what we want to stop here, you know, on this podcast and just reiterate from last time, because my heart really is broken for both Luke and Hannah in this situation.
Definitely.
So yeah, on to Hannah. So again, if you haven't watched the previous episode, go back, listen to it. We kind of recapped at the start of that episode, basically the whole conversation. Not going to recap it again. But just to give a little brief statement, it was about sex. So Luke brought up the fact that, you know, he wanted to know if Hannah was having sexual relations with anyone in the fantasy suites, and basically said that if she was, that he wanted to remove himself from the process. So probably going backwards, I wanted to start at the core, but my biggest concern with Hannah was how boastful she was, or should I say how comfortable she was in her sin. And this was really alluded to the whole windmill comment. Again, not going to say that comment. We're a clean podcast. But if you didn't know what the comment was, Google it. So yeah, what were your thoughts on that comment?
It's just that when, as Christians or anybody that claims to be Christian, claims to be faithful, we all understand what sin is. We understand that it's something against what God wants, and we understand that it's wrong, and we understand that it's not good for us, and we should try to not do it. And it just doesn't seem like she has any intention of trying to abstain and obey God in that specific area. And when she felt called out by Luke for this particular sin, she called him out for his sins, such as, I think she said, pride and things like that. Yeah. And for me, I kind of just want to ask her straight up, do you think sex is a sin? And, you know, if she says yes, then it's like, okay, well, then why are you happy to do it? Why are you comfortable doing it? Why are you proud mm-hmm. to do it? When all your other sins, you seem to claim to try to not do them. Mm-hmm. That's my issue with it.
Now, I do think that, just going back to the transcript, she does think it's a sin, because she even points out, she says, if I can find the exact quote, she says, yeah, sex before marriage might be a sin, but pride is also a sin. So in that mindset, it's almost as if she's saying, yeah, I know it's a sin, but, you know, I'm okay.
Well, see, the whole season she's been asking Luke all of these things that she doesn't like about him to stop doing them and to start doing things a better way and to start being the guy that she wants. And then here we are, him asking her to be the woman that he wants, and mm-hmm. she feels shamed by it. Doesn't really make a lot of sense. It's kind of hypocritical.
I mean, going back to what you said at the beginning, like, it comes across as very boastful, and if she's a born-again Christian, she should hate sin, this being one of them, and she doesn't seem to feel any kind of conviction or guilt just after she announced it the way she did. And I saw, after the show, I've seen some, like, posts that Luke and Hannah have made back and forth, mm-hmm. still continuing on this disagreement. And I think one of the things I saw Luke say was, well, Hannah, the biggest difference in how we feel is you're laughing at your sin and I'm crying at mine. And I mean, I think that's a great description, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to quote a verse here. It's 1 John 3:9. It says, "No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God." John Piper, who is a wonderful theologian, will quote him many times on this podcast. In one of his sermons, he says, "The practice of sin is the evidence and confirmation that one is not born of God. Doing confirms being. Not practicing sin is the evidence and confirmation of being born again. And the reason the new birth inevitably changes the life of sinning," John says, "is that when we are born again, God's seed abides in us and we cannot keep sinning. God himself is at work in the new birth so powerfully that they cannot keep on sinning and doing their pattern of sinful behavior." Now, I thought it was interesting because Hannah is quoted here saying that she has God in her heart. She says, "I have God in my heart, and because of this, I am the light of the world." So if she truly believes that God abides in her, and by what John in the writer of 1 John 3:9 writes, then she cannot, or should I say, shouldn't be comfortable in her sin. Yes, sin feels good, and our flesh naturally craves it and wants it, but the Holy Spirit is simply not going to allow us to keep on sinning. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, you simply cannot love someone and be okay with hurting them. Mm. You are going to mess up in every relationship that we have. We are going to disappoint each other because we were not made to like, we can't do what God can do for other people. We are going to disappoint people because people can't rely on us, and God doesn't want people to rely on us. So we are going to mess up, but we can't be happy about it. We can't take pride in that. Because relationships just won't work if you're just completely okay hurting someone and then just laughing about the fact, "Oh, yep, I did that. Oops. Oh, well." You can't do it.
That'd be like almost like telling my husband, "Oh, hey, I'm going to go cheat on you today." Yeah. And then come back and, "Oh, yep, fun. You're still going to love me,
though,
right?"
Let me tell you all about it.
I love that you mentioned that, because we so often forget, this is a relationship between us and God. Mm-hmm. And it's not something, it's like if we didn't pray or read our Bible, that communication would be cut off, same way as if we went a day without speaking to our husband. Mm-hmm. That relationship would be cut off.
Yeah.
And it's so important to remember that. And, we're supposed to be going after him like he goes after us. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, I'm naturally going to crave it within me because, no one is perfect. And I will say this on this podcast, I'm not perfect. I don't have a theology degree. We're just a couple girls who love Jesus and, love the Bible and, want to share his word. But at the end of the day, you can't serve two masters. So if I'm doing like what the world does and not what he wants me to do, I'm not loving him and pursuing him in that relationship like I should.
I mean, we're supposed to, I don't know where, and I know I've seen it somewhere. I don't know like the actual reference, but we're supposed to glorify God in all that we do. And because we love him and are thankful for what he's done for us, we're supposed to live our lives out like we appreciate it. And looking back at 1 John 3:9, I think kind of at first glance, it almost makes it look like Christians can't sin at all. And it kind of raises some questions. But really, I think the heart of it is it's for anyone claiming to be a Christian that where their habits in life aren't in accordance with God's word. And it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you can't serve two masters.
Yep. And to go off of that, no one cannot not sin, if that makes sense. We're all going to, fall short of the glory of God. And in 1 John 1:8, it goes back and it even says, "If we say then that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." He's not saying do no sin, but that we have sin. Like we have it in our lives naturally, and it's a part of our everyday, and that's why we're supposed to kill it. You know, so the Bible says that, you know, we sin daily and we're supposed to get up and deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. It also says, 1 John 2:1, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So John is not assuming that if you're not born again, you don't sin. But if you do, you have an advocate. But then again, you know, we can't keep abusing that advocate because it goes back to that relationship. You know, if I were to go and, you know, cheat on my husband and I was really sorry, you know, I was remorseful, I was, you know, repentant of that, and he took me back. Well, if I were to do the same thing again willingly, you know, that love is not there.
John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Yes. Yep.
And so that goes right back to the love. Mm-hmm. And if you are a born-again Christian and you've accepted God's grace and the gifts that he gives us, then you want to live a life that honors him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a heart change. And I feel like if you keep going against and do it, making, like, purposefully doing the same things over and over that you know don't shed light on how good God is, then it's almost like taking advantage of the creator of the universe.
Yeah.
I mean, is it not?
It is. Yeah, it is.
So I can't quote the exact verse, but it's in there somewhere. And it says that sex, it doesn't say that it's like the worst sin, because all sin is equal, but it does say that it's like a special,
mm-hmm.
most like self-destructive sin. And it's one that can directly just cut ties between you and God and just push him away, because he lives in you. You are one with him. And so to use your body, which is in a way also his body, to do something that he doesn't approve of, it's going to destroy you. And just like how when you get married, you become one with your husband, having outside relations it's not going to honor that relationship. So you can't have room inside you for God and for mm-hmm. this other. There's not mm-hmm. enough. You're one. There's just not enough room for anything else in there. So something's got to go. And if you're going to pick not God, then you're pushing God out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yes, sex is one of those sins where, you know, I don't want to say that any sin is, you know, over the other, because it's not, but different sins have different consequences. And sex is one of those where it's, you're giving this part of yourself to that other person that God specifically designed to be with that one person and that one person only, you know, with a covenant with him. And I think that's what does make it so, you know, significant, is because God did design sex. And, you know, we're married, you're about to be married. so Anne and I are married, Grace is about to be married. But, you know, when you are married and you are in that relationship with that person, you know, it even says in the Bible, you know, God created this for a purpose, you know, not only for procreation, but for pleasure, for you to be one with your husband. And it's just, it's hard when you share that with someone else. It doesn't give it the same meaning, if that makes sense. So it almost deludes sex.
And something that throws me is, I know that, like, the majority of the world now, sex and love are not the same thing. People will have sex before they say, I love you, and take an I love you more seriously than they take mm-hmm. sex. In the show, she supposedly is having sex with these two guys out of love. She hasn't exactly, she hasn't even told them that she loves them.
Yeah.
I think one of them, she said she was falling in love with him. But that's what gets me, is that you're willing to give up such as, not even to just one guy, but two guys, something that's supposed to be between you and just one person. And mm-hmm. she's just so cavalier about it. Like it's candy that she's passing out. Like, oh, I really, really like you, so here's some candy. It's a bigger deal. It's a much bigger deal. And it's going to hurt her down the road, because we may not think about it, but the emotion, like, there's part of your mind where when you have sex with someone, you are connected with them. You are tied to them. And when you just do it and then leave, it takes a part of you, and it, like, breaks something inside of mm-hmm. you, and it's not going to be good in the long run.
Well, and that's the whole structure of the show, too. You know, at that part in the series, it's the fantasy suite week. And typically, you know, this time there was four guys. You know, typically it's down to the last three. And, you know, it's alluded, not necessarily spoken outright, but, you know, it's alluded to the fact that they do have sex in these fantasy suites. And so I think it speaks to the culture that we're in. You know, you hear the term sex positive. Oh, Hannah is so sex positive. As a Christian, how does that make you feel when you hear that another Christian is sex positive?
Well, she's saying she's a light of the world. And this thing that she claims to understand is a sin, she understands that it's wrong, but she also supports it at the same time and is bragging about it. And there's all these young girls watching, and they're going to see it, and they may be a Christian, and then they're going to think, oh, well, I can be a Christian and have sex. Mm. It's confusing, and it's a lie. Like, you're either living truth or you're living a lie, and she's claiming truth.
Yeah.
But she's living a lie. So it's confusing to me.
Yeah.
How she can do both. And I know she's not doing both, because you can only do one. Yeah. So, yeah.
To kind of move on from there. So, again, if we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God, why is it important that we don't make a habit of sin? So it's like, yeah, God's got me, you know, I'm saved, I'm good, I'm covered, but why shouldn't we sin? So to take it back to the Old Testament, I'm going to quote Isaiah 59:1-2. It says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that you will not hear." So ultimately, sin separates us from God. We can't hear his voice or the direction in ourselves and in our lives. And so that means we can't keep that relationship with him. There's no guidance of the Holy Spirit guiding us in our lives if we keep making a pattern of sin. And it's not that, and to quote our youth pastor, I was actually talking to him about this topic. And he gave me some wonderful verses, including all of these to go by. But he said, most of what affects us, and he's talking about the effects of sin, comes not from God wanting to talk to us. It comes from sin drowning out his voice and causing shame so that we don't go to him. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
That's so true. I know. A Sunday school teacher of mine years ago told our class that Satan doesn't need new things to try and get to us or mess up. I struggle with the same things constantly. Mm-hmm. Like my Sunday school teacher said, like, Satan doesn't need anything new.
That cyclical sin, it'll get you.
But so every time I do end up getting caught in one of those downward cycles, and it's something that I've struggled with for years, and it hits me again, even though I was so determined, like, nope, it's not going to get me down this time, and it does, and then I'm ashamed, and I don't want to talk to God, because, like, I messed up again, I'm sorry, and I mean, it's hard to go back. And
yeah, when it's happened 100 times, and you have to keep going back and saying, I'm sorry, I'll try harder, and
I'm then still a mess again. Up, I'm still a screw up.
Yeah, it's kind of like you want to figure it out yourself and fix it, and then go to him and present, like, oh, look, Lord, I fixed it, but he's like, I gotta do that, you gotta let me do that, that's mine, give it back.
Mm-hmm. Well, we almost tend to forget that, you know, it's not us that does the saving, God does the saving to begin with. And so even when we do sin, you know, we think, oh, we can make it good, like you said, but that's not what the Bible says at all. You know, he makes us good. He restores us. You know, he puts the pieces back together. And so I just know from my personal experience, like you said, there's sins that I struggle with daily, that if I don't make a conscious decision to be like, okay, Hannah, don't do that, don't think that, don't say that, it's just going to come out naturally. And there'll be times where I find myself doing more of those things, but it's when I haven't, you know, been in his word, I haven't been praying, I haven't been listening to Christian music, I haven't been walking in the spirit. And so it's like a vicious cycle. The more you do those things, the more you don't want to be closer to God. But the more that you're not closer to God, you do those things.
And then eventually it catches up.
It catches up.
And you're like, wait, why is everything so off?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of just like a downward spiral.
Yep. And to kind of go back to what John Piper said, referring to the 1 John 3:9, he says, when the born-again person experiences this, talking about the lukewarm pattern of sin, that pattern where you keep sinning and distancing and keep sinning. The truth in 1 John 3:9, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, has the effect by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit awakens him to the danger of this condition. So he goes back to his advocate for mercy and forgiveness and righteousness. So eventually, yeah, have you heard the old term, make sure your sins find you out?
Mm-hmm.
Eventually they are. And that's the Holy Spirit, if you are truly a child of him, awakening you to that, and you cannot sit in that. It won't allow you. Now, that may take time, you know, differently for people to hear this or for the Holy Spirit to speak to that person. But eventually, he's going to draw them back.
I would say there are, when it comes to the question, well, if God's forgiven me, why do I have to stop sinning if I'm just forgiven anyways? There's two ways to look at it. There's one, you may be forgiven, but in the end, like, you are going to you're going to stand there and he's going to, you know, tell you this is all the things that you did wrong. And then also, if you're living a life where you're perfectly fine sinning and hurting God and disobeying him, then that relationship isn't there. So it's going to be the situation where he says, I don't know you. Like, you don't get to come in, I guess. But then the other way is one of my metaphors. I'm a clean as you go type of person. So whether I be, you know, baking or cooking or just how every morning when I wake up, I make my bed, you would say, well, you know, why clean? Why make your bed if you're just going to mess it up again later? Like, you're going to eat later. There's going to be food on the counter. Your bed's going to be a mess in the morning. So why do it again? But if you keep just letting things pile up, if you keep letting the kitchen or the rest of the house just become a mess, then in the end, you're going to be left with this giant mountain that you have no idea how to even start cleaning up. Whereas picking up that paper towel that you used to clean and throwing it away, boom, you're done. Like, it's, you got to tweak and fix and clean as you go. And then it's not going to be so hard on your heart and heavy on your shoulders. You got to constantly give all throughout the day, everything that comes into your mind, give it to God. Otherwise it's going to be too heavy and you can't pick it up to give it to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That goes back to the whole, you know, dying to yourself daily and taking up your cross and following him verse really lived out right there. You know, if we were to go ahead, kill sin every morning, because, you know, as we stated, sin's inevitable. I mean, we're going to sin. It's going to happen. But if we make a habit of, you know, making sure that we clean our hearts and keep ourselves in check, it's not going to keep piling up and piling up. And like you said, it's not going to be so heavy on us, and the effects of sin aren't going to be so loud where it does drown out God's voice altogether.
And just like all of the times that you disobey will pile up, all of the times that you obey will add up as well. And things will be easier. And when you come to those sins that you struggle with every day, the more that you, you know, push them away and give them to God and turn the devil away each morning and tell him, no, you're not going to mess with me, you're going to find more strength and be able to do that more and more once you realize that you can. So it just takes that one time to kind of make a habit out of practicing following God rather than practicing following your what you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to go back to one very pivotal line from that scene. And the line, even Chris Harrison said, it's probably the most, Chris Harrison, if you don't know who he is, he's the host of the Bachelor franchise. He said in an interview that this is probably the most iconic line in all of Bachelor franchise. She tells Luke, I have had sex, and yes, Jesus still loves me. So I really want to dig into that quote and what that line means. But also in an interview, she stated this. They asked her about that line, and this was her reply on that line. She said, regardless of anything that I've done, I can do whatever. I sin daily, and Jesus still loves me. It's all washed, and if the Lord doesn't judge me and it's all forgiven, then no other man, woman, animal, anything can judge me. So what are y'all's thoughts on this?
Well, the Lord does judge you. He's the only one who can. That's correct. But, like...
And that should scare you.
Yeah. Yeah, that should... Like, I would rather anyone on this earth judge me than him. But thankfully he's full of grace and mercy and does forgive us for that stuff. But she just keeps using it as an excuse, as like the Christian card, like I'm okay. I'm okay because he already forgave me. And she shouldn't be concerned about people judging her. Like she took such offense to that because I do believe that she truly does feel shame, and she feels shame, so she lashes out. That's what most of us do. And so she's just so focused on making sure no one else is judging her that she's not worried about the one judgment that actually matters and affects her.
I mean, some of that could be because, I mean, I wouldn't want to be on national TV and like say, sorry, guys, I did this. Like, I don't want to confess in front of millions of people. But it, to me, that goes back to what's in her heart. And it doesn't seem like there's any kind of conviction there. And like you said, she keeps kind of throwing out the God card, like, I'm good. But the Bible doesn't, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Bible doesn't, as far as I know, anywhere say, go have a fun life and just do everything that you want to do.
Yeah, no.
Like Jesus says, it's going to be hard. And it is. But.
And Jesus does and will forgive us for everything, but we have to accept that forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And to truly accept forgiveness, you have to feel remorse and you have to feel sorry and you have to feel convicted and understand that what you did was wrong and have the intention of trying to stop, although, you know, we struggle with that. That's okay. But somebody can't forgive you if you don't, I mean, they can forgive them for themselves, but they can't give you that forgiveness if you won't take it. And she doesn't seem like she's taking it. She's just accepting it over there. Like, Jesus forgave me over there, but I don't need it, or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, sin is very serious, and, you know, no matter how small or big it is, it's something that should grieve us. We should be broken over our sin. And, you know, again, Jesus does love you no matter what, you know, and he has washed it all away. But to say that, you know, I can sin, you know, and Jesus has done this, but not to go on and say, you know, well, I don't want to sin because Jesus loves me. That's where I find the fault. And I find a lot of fault because we have a lot of very young, impressionable preteens, teenagers, young adults, girls watching this and hearing this, and they think that she's this powerful role model, especially for young Christians. And I mean, I've had sex and Jesus still loves me on t-shirts now. Yep. I saw a t-shirt come up on my Facebook.
Oh, I think it was on the Mental All episode too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like in the audience.
Yeah. And so it really breaks my heart that how lightly sin was being taken here.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of, everything you were just saying, it kind of takes me back to what you said earlier, Grace, about how young, impressionable viewers are out there watching. And if they're new to the faith and they hear one thing in church and then they see another thing out, like, being pushed in their faces, like, it's confusing. And then to anyone that may be drawn to Christianity, it's like, well, which is it? Then it kind of, I think we said this in the Luke portion, it's kind of like one bad apple spoils the bunch.
Yeah.
Because it kind of makes us all look like hypocrites if we're all doing different things, but we say we believe the same things.
Yeah.
And the whole I've had sex and Jesus still loves me could have been a great platform had she stuck with, like, saying, yeah, I have had sex, I've repented, and I'm trying not to. So that can teach people that, yes, you have sinned, and that is okay. Just, you know, turn away from it. But she, like, she turned it around. She said, I've had sex, Jesus still loves me, and I'm going to keep having sex. So she should have stopped at the Jesus still loves me part and then embraced that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really feeds into that culture of, you know, we've got a lot of Christians really in the modern church who think, you know, they're either on one side where they think the Bible is just this rule book and, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that, or they're on the opposite side in the modern day church where they're like, okay, well, I can do all of this because he still loves me. And there's that in between, you know, it's like, yes, you know, like that song, I'm no longer a slave. I'm not a slave to sin. Jesus is good. He saved me. He's washed me clean. But as a Christian, you do have to know, as we've stated in this podcast, the effects of sin on your relationship with Christ and the effects of sin in your life is very serious. And the transformation that comes, you know, not even after you've been saved, because being saved is not a one-time experience. I don't believe that you can lose your salvation. I'll put that out there right now. But I believe that it is a daily renewal growth that you have to go through. And if you just make a practice of saying, well, I can do this because he's got me, you're not growing in your faith. You're just a baby Christian from now until you're 99.
And then when the Lord does judge you, or us all at the end, it's, I mean, do you want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, or do you want to hear, well, you got here by the skin of your teeth? Mm-hmm. Like, that's very clear for me.
That's in the Bible, y'all, that he will judge us, you know, in the last days, and especially when we go and meet him, you know, even though we might be forgiven and saved, our life may not have reflected that of what it could have been.
Mm-hmm. It's a pass-fail situation. There's no C-plus heaven. Like, you're you either gave it what you got or you just didn't really care enough to try.
Yeah, exactly. So any other final thoughts before we close? So again, I just want to state again, it's not enough to say that I can do this and Jesus still loves me, or I can do that and Jesus still loves me. We should pray daily for the Holy Spirit to put within our hearts that Jesus loves me, so I don't want to do this or I don't want to do that. I don't want to do anything that will cause his voice to be drowned out from my life. Just wanted to thank y'all all again for sticking with us through this two-part series of The Bachelorette and the Bible. Again, if there was anything that we said that you may or may not agree with, or anything that, you know, you want more clarity on, contact me, post, comment. We want to get this discussion rolling. Again, we are not theologians. We don't have Bible degrees. We're just a bunch of girls who love Jesus, love reading his word, and love talking about it with all of you. So as always, prayers for you for good mornings, and don't forget to wake up with Jesus and coffee.